Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I was going to say, we were talking about doing a follow-up one after we killed a deer, and we never did.
I know. It's been... me and Austin were just talking before we got started here. It has been 2 months since the last time we've both been on a Full Draw Friday. So, today we're going to catch up on Austin's season. We've both shot deer since the last time we recorded a podcast, so that should be fun to talk about. And then along the way, if we find anything that we want to talk about and kind of dive into a little bit more, we'll do that, but it should be a good conversation today. Before we get into it, don't forget about our partner for Full Draw Friday, Rack's Big Game Supplements. You go to racksbiggame.com and check them out. Also, Rodney Hawkins at RG Outdoors and Midwest Farm and Land. His number is 618-925-3153. Any questions you got on all of that, whether you're looking to buy or sell land here in Illinois, he does residential stuff and recreational properties. You can call him and talk about that. RG Outdoors is on Facebook. And if you're local to Southern Illinois, he is in Flora, so you can check that out as well. All right, dude. We were just talking. Your buck was October 29th, so it was 5 days after the last episode we did. If I'm remembering right, I killed on the 26th and the 10th. I think that's right. 9th or 10th. I think it was the 10th. So all the three bucks that we've killed this year were all after the last time. So we need to back up. Yeah. And I know for your buck, you had pictures of him just shortly before you wound up shooting him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The earliest picture I got him was the week before I ended up shooting him. And that was a nighttime picture, but definitely the biggest deer that I was getting on that property. And it was only a single picture, but it was good to know that he was kind of in the general area. And then basically the day before I ended up killing him, I got a daylight picture. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much was the tell that I needed to go in and hunt on the next good wind. So
did you get the picture like right where you shot him at, or was it
I got the picture probably 70 yards away from where I ended up kicked.
Same general area for sure.
Yeah, same general area. So I put it in a specific converging spot and had a good oak and whatnot there. So, but, and then I set a little bit further down the ridge where I could cover a couple more trails.
Yeah. If you hadn't have been in there and shot him that next day, would you have gotten a picture of him? Would you have known he was in there?
Yeah. Yeah, would have, knowing the direction he was heading.
Okay.
That I probably would have got a picture of him. And who knows how much he was using the property that I don't know about, because I only had two cameras on that piece, and there was a lot of movement potential.
Right.
You know, so like he could have been using that property a heck of a lot more than even I know he was, just because I only had two cameras on it. But it was a 15-acre piece. And I had my cameras basically on the two best converging locations on the property. So they were pretty good high caliber locations to set your cameras on.
Right. Yeah. And he was a hammer of a deer too.
He was.
We shared him on our page. Yeah. Hopefully everybody got to see him that follows us. And I know you did too, but he was a really nice buck.
He was a stud. He had 12 scoreable points. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was
mainframe 9, like a mainframe 8.
Mainframe, I guess you
could
count it.
He had a little bit of short 4, right?
He had a little tiny 4, like it was barely measurable.
Basically,
four, right?
An 8 pointer.
So I count him as an 8. Yeah, I can't count him 8 with some junk. He had a really cool crown of 3 kickers at the base, you know, on one of his antlers, and it was kind of crazy. He was injured. He had a really bad limp coming in. So that makes sense. So that side that had all the junk on it was actually a little bit smaller than his other side.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even though it had some stuff on it, it was the frame itself was a little smaller, and it was on the opposite side of the injury,
Yeah.
of the injured leg he was hopping on.
Yep. Any idea what the injury
So
was from? Could you tell?
no clue. It looked like probably broken leg at one point.
Yeah.
I ended up, my father-in-law knows the neighbor to that property, and he actually encountered this buck the year before and said that that deer had a limp that season also. So I
Okay.
think it was just an old injury, and
Right.
when I got to skinning him out, that leg was broke, but he also hit the creek really freaking hard.
Right.
So I'm like, you know,
Could have
I mean,
been insult
it
to
could have
injury kind of
happened at
deal.
that. It could have been happened at that point too. It just
Yeah.
probably was an old injury, honestly, that just kind of got re-injured during
Yeah.
that process.
Right.
So,
Right.
but
That's
yeah, it was, it's, yeah,
no,
go for it.
that's interesting because I put out a short from my conversation with Steve Shirk about like a lot of the bucks, the mature bucks that we get in have been shot before. And of
Yeah.
course, several people were like, there's no way I've skinned like 100 deer and we haven't noticed that. I'm like, wow, 100 deer. But anyway, this buddy of mine shot a deer in December, right around Christmas. Maybe it was Christmas Eve morning. I don't remember. It was somewhere right around in there. Anyway, it had a perfect three blade scar with the hair still cut. Like the hair hadn't grown back over it yet either. So like we're thinking it's probably last year. But I mean it was just the prettiest. It was like a tattoo of like a cut on contact three blade expandable. Because there's a like real small blades, it looked like a perfect cutout of like a G5 dead meat or something like that, or a mega meat. And it was probably 3 inches higher than what this guy hit that deer. And he was shooting one of the fixed blade Schwackers with some bleeders. And so his cut a hole. I mean, it was a pretty good hole, but like 3 inches higher. And he said there
No
was a pus
recovery.
pocket on the other side where it had exited, And yeah, like that deer lived another year. He said he didn't even notice it till he walked up to it. So like that deer was
That's
no worse for
crazy.
wear, just on a shot that like should have killed that thing. And I mean that. If you hit it and you didn't have camera to go back and look at, like video, you'd probably think you smoked him. Because it was like, I mean, just a little high, but frontwards and backwards, it was looked fine. And I'm sure they got good penetration because they had two holes, like a deer you probably thought should have been dead.
You
And
should have found, right?
exactly. Like it's crazy how many of those that we see. But that was just, you said that injury, it reminded me of that. That was like one of the cleanest obvious scars from a broadhead that I've seen on a deer. It was just like you put a tattoo on them of a three blade cut on contact expandable. It was pretty interesting.
That's kind of a cool find. That's very interesting. It
Yeah.
just shows you how tough those animals are, too.
Oh my gosh. And then like just countless numbers of them that are have 22 bullets in them or like 223 old slugs, broadheads. It's just the amount of stuff that they go through, not only naturally, but like in a high pressure environment. Like at some point they've been shot or at least been shot at,
Shot at least. I mean, it's why they're so darn
Exactly.
smart.
They're
Like
so leery of everything.
they've made some mistakes before and got lucky.
There was
So
the best chance Nate had this year was on November 12th. This was interesting too. It was a buck that had shown up on his place on November 12th. Each of the last 2 years, as a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and this year, a 5-year-old, like exact same date, he showed up and he never had him before or after that. Like he would come for that one day and that was it. So that was pretty interesting because we talk about historical data all the time. And if you got a buck, especially those roamers that shows up like around that same date every year, it seems like they're fairly consistent. Well, this one was on the nose. Well, he came in, he had him at like, I don't know, 10 yards. And he was drawn back and he said he had the pin on him. Well, he tried to stop him. He was just at a normal walk. Like he easily could have shot him without stopping him, but stop him, make sure it's all good, whatever. When he tried to stop him, the deer just bolted. Like he just took a hard two hops and then trotted off. And then, of course, he stopped at the end of the plot, looked around. And I was like, well, he probably either thought, because he came in, made a scrape, there was some deer in that plot that he thought he didn't see or something, right? Or he recently, or at some point, had a very bad experience with that noise and was either shot or missed. especially as far as this deer traveled, because a buddy of his has pictures of him, like, I don't know, a mile away or something. Pretty regular. So, and the other neighbor ended up killing that deer later in December. But it was like one of those deals where you just, he's that one out of 10 or one out of 100 maybe that do that, but he probably had a really bad experience with someone making that noise at him.
And it could be something too. He could have been a little loud. I've seen this mistake made also is if a buck's coming in real calm and relaxed and there's not a lot of wind and nothing's going on, you can easily
just startle
him, spook that deer, startle him because you were just too loud with that stuff. And I had a buddy made that mistake this year also on a buck. And
really?
And it was just, I saw through the camera, I'm like, honestly, man, for those conditions, you're probably just too loud.
See, I told Nate the same thing. I was like,
You're probably just too loud. Like, if you were to just whispered at that deer, he probably would have just stopped perfectly for you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Honestly, depending on the conditions, like, if you can do it, and if you can just give him, like, a little whistle or something, sometimes I'll do, like, if it's dead still and they're close, like, just give him a little... You know, just
a little something. Curiosity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I told Nate that. That's funny you say that because I was like, man, that sounded really loud. He said, well, I was right by the camera microphone and all that. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
But he also did bolt.
Yeah, he did bolt, you know.
Yeah. So if he's listening to this, maybe he'll text me and tell me that he wasn't too loud. But
yeah, that's really funny. Is it because, you know, the 170 I shot a few years back, he was chasing a doe actively, so I darn near had to yell at that deer.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's some of them like that.
You know,
too.
So that there's, but it he was getting ready to bolt the moment I let the arrow go because I had to be so loud.
Right, right.
You know, like it's he stopped and you could tell that he wasn't going to stick around.
Yeah.
To wait and see what
is like
that was
like it took him just a second to process.
Split second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just needed that. I needed to shoot him in the processing time, the buffering time.
Yes.
Just hope he had a slow buffer, just a split second. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That was my second buck this year. He was at 40 when he popped out, and I shot him at 42. But I first tried to stop him with just the normal.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Kind of volume, nothing. Because it was super windy that day. That was, we had that cold front blow through. Yours, it probably came through you guys a day or two earlier than that maybe. But it was like super windy, super cold. It dropped, I don't know, 20 degrees or something like that, and though it was going to in those 2 days, and this was the first day of it. I think the winds were 20 mile an hour gusting in the 30s, so super windy, and I had to get loud on him the second time. And even still, that distance and that wind, he was like, I think I was just barely enough to get his curiosity, because he stopped and he looked, and it seemed like he was about to just put his head down and start walking again, you know. And so there is there's different ways you got to go about it depending on the conditions. But if you're like, he watched that, back to Nate's deer, he watched him come in, he made a scrape right under the tree, like, you're excited, it's hard to just take a second, hold back, and just give him a little, or even like a little click, you know, it's just something to get him.
Just to get him to raise his head. That's
exactly.
That's all I gotta do.
Just that split second. And the other thing is, like, at 10 yards, at a slow walk, I mean, you can kill him.
Yeah, you know, as long as you've got... You know, it's very specific with, you know, the everything, the situation's specific, you know, if you've got anything in your way, where your shooting lanes are and just how he's moving, the angle of his, you know, where he, how he's walking. But, you know, cause I had that a deer that was fighting one of the 9 points behind me, you know, I shot him on the move, but he was just kind of wheeling around, you know, he wasn't really moving hard. He just got done fighting that buck and he was just turning, and right as he hit that quartering away angle, you know, it was just, and he was like 5 yards away, so it took nothing. It was
small,
no time for
small
that
margin
to get
for
to
error. I mean, large margin for error there. And that's like Nate's deer. He was walking very slowly quartering away, so it's not even like broadside where if you if you start a little bit back and then you pull it and he's moving, now, okay, you went from lungs to guts. Like, if he's quartering, you've got a lot of depth there to be off left and right and still get a lung, liver, heart potentially and kill that deer efficiently and quickly. But learning experience. I plan to do an episode at the end of the year with everybody like we normally do and talk about, you know, at the end of it, I want to do like one thing you learned from the season, and I would expect that to be Nate's. Either something along the lines of shoot them while they're walking or, you know, do a better job stopping them, whatever. But anyways, not to pick on him too much. That the deer you shot October 29th, you said, right? So then what did the month of November look like for you? Were you hunting much? Were you doing mostly guiding or?
Not a whole lot of hunting, honestly. I hunted a little bit in Missouri because, you know, Kansas, we only got one tag.
Yeah, that was your one tag.
So that was my one tag in Kansas. I did a little bit of guiding. I worked with a couple clients, just kind of helping them get on some deer and adjust some cameras. And it was mostly just kind of work stuff.
Yeah.
You know, kind of relaxing and the weather wasn't amazing. So, you know, it wasn't something that I just felt the urge just to go try to find something in Missouri. Cause I also didn't have hardly any intel in Missouri. I didn't hardly do anything scouting wise or so I knew my opportunities were a little limited, you know, with trying to find, get on something in Missouri. So, and it wasn't really a heavy goal of mine either. So
right.
I was okay with what I shot. I was more than happy with how the season went and just kind of hang out around home.
Yeah.
Get some work done. So
that was kind of where I was at after my second deer. Cause we two bucks. So after I bucked out on the 10th, it was like, we had a couple of good weather fronts coming after that. And it kind of hurt not to be hunting like November, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at the same time, I got to help out at the shop a lot more. But then I kicked around the idea of going over to Missouri because there's a couple places that are a couple hours from the house that I could get to.
Yeah.
And it and I thought, well, I could still get out there, hunt the end of November. But by the time I got to thinking about it, it was like right around Thanksgiving. Then you got all that stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
A couple of days I could have went and I ended up going duck hunting instead. And it was like, then December rolled around after first gun season. We were so busy up here, like I was telling you. It got to be like, eventually I kind of lost the motivation to even want to go over there because the same as you, like, this was not something I had planned. It was just an idea like, hey, if I want to go try to shoot another buck, I could do it, but I have no intel. I have never even stepped foot on any of those properties over there. So obviously no cameras, no scouting time. All I got is I've looked at Onyx a few times and pinpointed some places that could be good, but who knows, right? So it's one of those deals where, especially after November got through and I'm like, late season, this is where I could go. There's a lot of big wood stuff. It's like, I don't know if there's acorns there. I don't know where the good food sources are. It's going to take me at least a couple of days to figure it out. And so it just, I never ended up doing it. And I still kind of kicked it around up until probably this week. And I'm like, it's not happening. Because we've only got, I don't know when Missouri season ends. It's usually around ours, right?
Like 15th.
Yeah, middle of January.
Yeah. And that was the thing too, is I wasn't about to spend the money on an archery out of state tag. Like I'd already spent the money on the rifle.
Right.
You know, for our deer camp time frame. So I was like, I'm not going to spend another $280 on archery tag, you know? So it's not, so either I've got regular season rifle, the 10 days there, and then you got the 10 days for, alternative methods at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of putting a plan together to do that, but I didn't end up putting enough effort into it through December to, I just got busy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had other stuff I could work on.
That's kind of
I just got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
kind of what happened to me too there in November for sure.
Yeah.
And I kicked around to like a couple guys I know up in Iowa. I was like, man, I could go film for them. Cause I know, both of those guys had, I had talked to about like they were looking for someone to film for them. I was like, and I thought about it at that time, well, if I buck out early, I could go film for them. But then I still had everybody on our team that, so I ended up filming for Nate several times. I filmed for Blake a few times, you know, and so that kind of took up any of the extra time that I maybe would have went to Missouri also, because it's like, I really want to get another good kill on camera. you know, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. So why not go try to help those guys out? And obviously it didn't work out, but I don't know. It was like, once we got through that week after I shot mine and then gun season hit, it was just like, it's just easier to come up here and cut deer and not worry about it for a little bit. It was November was a super busy month too, because I did all the daily episodes from October through November. So it was good to kind of have a little break. I would usually take a content break in like January. Yeah. Well, that was kind of December this year. And I would have liked to seen where we could have ended up numbers wise at the end of the year if I would have pushed harder through December. But also we exceeded my expectations anyway. So like, I don't know. It just all worked out. It ended up being a pretty good year overall. So I can't complain.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. That was the other thing is, you know, going into this year, I've got just wanting to, you know, multiply what we did this last year, mm-hmm. you know, between multiple, you know, between the management and the outfitting and then, you know, my own hunting. I kind of set my sights right when I killed that deer. It's like, all right, now I'm just setting it next year. Like, okay, what can we do to prepare for next year? Because the last couple of years on YouTube has been really slow for me because I've been busy. The business has been picking up.
Right.
So I haven't done anything hardly on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that was a major goal going into this year, was to do my content again, like I ought to be doing and like I enjoy doing. So, you know, that was a major goal. So, okay, well, let's prep for that. Like, let's just get ready to just hit the ground running going into next year and just kill it next year.
Yeah. And you did just put out a video of kind of explaining your client's buck setup and all that and how that played out. So run us through that, because I know we talked about it probably a little bit on one of the other episodes, but again, it's been a while. So just a quick synopsis, I guess, of that deer and then kind of the setup, and then people can go watch that full video too on your channel if they want to get a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, no, that was I call him the 2-hour buck, because it was really funny. My client texted me a couple of days before, and he's like, okay, so what do you think of the weather opening day? You know, kind of feeling out, should I come opening day or should I give it a couple of days? I'm like, honestly, man, you're probably going to kill him on Monday.
Right.
Like, it's a really good chance. Like, the wet weather was, we had a cold front rolling in on Sunday, which was the day before season. So it left Monday morning cooler than normal, right? It was a fairly much cooler morning, even though the day was going to get hot again. So I'm like, you'd probably kill him Monday morning, to be honest with you. This buck was accessing from the northeast every morning, right around mid-morning. He either accessed into the food plot or he swung down the road and accessed into the cedar thicket from, you know, that he typically was bedding in. So he was coming in on a regular pattern, you know, and I just kind of had to figure out what the best route to take when it comes to the wind and whatnot. And it was a funny setup, because if you look at it on paper, it kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because your wind was blowing out into the food plot.
Right.
But that was the wind he liked to use in that general area. Your wind was blowing away from the bedding area.
Right.
Right. It was blowing out of the bedding area where he was bedding in most of the time. And it worked with the direction that he was moving from, you know, moving from the northeast, with it being a south-southeast wind. You had time, if he came from that direction, to kill him before he got to your scent cone. And obviously, if he came out from behind you, which is what he ended up doing, came out from the cedar thicket from behind Chad, and obviously, you know, definitely got him killed before he got to the scent cone at that point.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, if you knew what that area looked like between tree stand placement for cover, basically, that was kind of your best route to take.
Yeah.
There may have been one other location that we could have put that tripod to give him enough cut cover to not get busted. You know, as that deer was accessing into the food plot, he's not at eye level.
Right.
You know, hey, there's a dude sitting right there, you know.
Exactly.
You were tucked into a cedar. And so by the time he got out of that cedar thicket, you had a 30-yard quartering away shot.
Right.
Before he even got to your scent cone.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of hunting something that maybe didn't 100% make a whole lot of sense, but when you looked at that scenario, it made a all the sense.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Giving the deer the win just a little bit.
Yep.
You know, and that's what tends to get him killed.
Oh, for sure. If you can get that set up where you don't have to blow your wind to him wherever he's coming from, right? And he feels good about it, because a lot of times those mature bucks, you know, they want to have the wind in their favor. Now, mm-hmm. not every time is it going to make sense, or are they going to walk straight into the wind, right? I've made the point before that you hear some of these guys say that a mature buck will never move with the wind at his back, or he'll only move with the wind at his face or whatever, like he's only mm-hmm. going to walk into the wind. Well, as many west winds as we get, you could just go pile up at the Mississippi River and kill them all day long if that was the case, because they'd only ever move. Yeah. Eventually, they'd get all the way there with all the west winds we get. But a lot of times, they will use that wind to their advantage in one way or another, right? It may not always make sense to, okay, why has he got the wind hitting him in the butt? But for some reason, it's probably in his favor, or he just had to do that for this little trek, and then he's going to get right back to using it.
Yep.
So a lot of times, if you set up to where the wind is good for you to not blow it in a certain direction, but it is in no way beneficial to him, anytime you go hunt that stand on the wind that you need, you're not going to see him. But then you get another wind and he's there in daylight where you're thinking, gosh, if only I could hunt that stand on that wind. Now, and maybe if you shifted that stand a little bit to where your wind's not necessarily killing you, as long as he stays where he's normally at, you could go in there on those days where he's been using it on that wind and get it done. I've seen that countless times on trail cameras or just hunting in some of those setups where you're giving him just a little bit or just enough where he feels good about it and you're still not blowing your wind right at him. Or like you said, in that scenario, you can shoot him before he gets to your wind, you know. And one thing that I guess going back to like what you learned from this season is just kind of reaffirmed. You don't necessarily want does coming in and blowing at you and getting your scent all the time, right? And you don't want to be spooking deer, obviously. But if you have one doe come in and she gets your wind and she blows, that's not the end of the world. The first buck I killed this year, a group of does came out from downwind of me, and he's a good example of giving them just a little bit of wind too. So my wind's blowing back behind me and a little bit from my left to right. So blowing kind of from the left side of my face over my right shoulder. And these does came out from behind me, and they eventually got into my scent out in the field behind me, the open field. And they blew, I don't know, three or four times like they do, and they all took off across the field. 20 minutes later, out of this same bedding area comes the buck that I ended up shooting. Like, I know he was close enough to hear those does blowing, but he didn't care.
Yeah.
He came out from behind me, and then walked this edge that I was sitting in. So I was kind of in this fence row alongside the field, kind of on the edge of this bedding area, right? So he came in from behind me, and the only time he would have ever been in my wind, he was 10 yards away, and it was going right over the top of him. So my wind, he felt good about his wind because it was coming, hitting him in the left side of the face. The bedding area was to his left, so he's scent checking that whole thing the whole time he's running the edge of this fence line, whatever. And so he feels like he's got it made. All the while, I'm sitting there, my wind's blowing just enough away from him that by the time he hits it, he's too close and it's over the top of him, so he never smelled me. He comes down 12 yards right in front of me, and I kill him. Like, it's the two things there, you know. Does blowing is not the end of the world. Do you want it to happen? No. If they blow and you can shoot them, should you? Absolutely. But it's not the end of the world. Your hunt's not necessarily over. If in that scenario you're talking about, if there would have been does come out into that food plot and blew, maybe it ruins the hunt. Likely, unless they run back slows through them down, the bedding area, right? You may be okay. It's probably a risk worth taking because that's the wind you need to kill that deer, right? And the other thing is, they're going to use the wind. If you can give them just a little bit, a lot of times you can get it done, which is what happened to me on that buck, and is what happened to your client for sure, sounds like, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like, you know, obviously we can get in our own way and overthink things.
You know
what I mean? I mean, we cannot control every direction deer are going to come from. especially if you have a property that you have a lot of deer on.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to come from everywhere. No matter how well you set it up, no matter how well you set your stand up or you manage the property and you try to manipulate the movement, the deer are still going to be deer mm-hmm. and use it, right? So that there's no way we can get around every single deer.
Right.
That comes out. You know, we just got to play the odds.
Yep.
You know, what are the highest odds of what the deer I'm after doing? And where are the highest odds of where the majority of the deer are typically coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you figure out those two things, set up accordingly, and then you just kind of go from there. And then you just roll the dice. Yep. You know, not every setup is going to be perfect, you know. My buck this year, I even got blown at. An hour before I shot my deer, I got blown at.
Mm-hmm.
The couple does were coming up from, I was hunting the leeward side of the ridge. You know, we had a northwest wind. I was hunting the southeast side of the ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple does came up from bedding that was directly downwind. And once that they hit my thermal cone right there, that they hit it, started snorting, and took off.
Yep.
And took off kind of in the direction that he came from. They didn't run exactly to where he came from,
right?
But same general direction, you know. And he was bedded. By the time he got to my scent cone, he was 10 yards away and had an arrow in him.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was. And by the time, you know, he came in at that last light time frame, so the wind had died off real good, and you know, there just wasn't a whole lot going on at that time. So by the time he even hit my sit cone, he just worked that ridge in, just like I kind of hoped he would.
Mm-hmm.
Work that ridge in, and ended up, you know, 10 yards away.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and you know, you hunted the right wind, and it just so happened, you know, he was working basically a crosswind.
Yeah.
I've seen more deer work a crosswind than I have a direct wind.
Yep.
Honestly.
Yep.
I feel same. Like it plays the thermals better in a lot of times, and it plays how they see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a lot of bucks move with a rear wind, but it's a rear wind going through the thick stuff, and they can see
yes.
for a long distance where they're heading, and then eventually it'll turn.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And then they're back to that kind of crosswind where.
And then they're back to that crosswind.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, like Chad's buck, technically they came out with the wind to their butts,
mm-hmm.
right? But I know which direction they came from. They came in with the wind to their nose,
mm-hmm.
circled in the cedar thicket behind him. So they had a crosswind, and then they started working this direction, probably. I don't know if they went straight north, or they probably worked just how that cedar thicket works. They probably worked slightly northeast
mm-hmm.
through that cedar thicket, you know, and just kind of doing this through the cedar thicket, and eventually just popped out at the food plot.
Yeah,
with the wind to their butts, but they could see out for a long ways into that food plot.
Exactly.
And the wind was blowing all through those cedars, you know, so that they yep. can eat in that food plot, wind blowing through the cedars, and they can see everything for 150 yards.
Yes, they can smell any danger where they can't see, and they can see what they can.
100%.
Yeah, so
100%.
That yeah. totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And back to the, you know, those does busting you and stuff. Sometimes, especially like pre-rut and rut, kind of a theory, a working theory, I guess. I think if a buck doesn't know that doe is in the area, and he, like, let's say she is downwind of him, right? Mm-hmm. Downwind of you, downwind, he's upwind of you. So, like, you're in between the two. So, he doesn't smell yep. him. He doesn't necessarily yep. know they're there. If that doe's blowing, what's that tell him? Hey, there's a doe yeah. over there. I might go check that out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Is he going to be more cautious about it? Depending on the time of the rut, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
like, I don't know that deer that I end up shooting on the 26th, if he was coming out, checking out, with those does, because he stood at
curiosity.
The edge of the field. Yeah, he came out and stood at the edge of the field for a little bit, just kind of looking around towards the direction those does were at and where they were blowing from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was he was looking for those does, he was looking for what they blew at, or if it just so happened that he was coming out that way anyway. You know, maybe he wouldn't have done that till after dark if they hadn't have blown. So, like, I'm not saying, again, you want to go out there and get blown out by deer, but it's also not the end of the world. And like you said, you got to give up something, especially if we're talking Like if you're hunting any kind of timber and you can use terrain features, but still you pretty much like my line of thinking or rule is you have to give up something. So you're just trying to give up the least likely place that they're going to come from. At least the least likely place your target buck's going to come from or where he's going to be, right? So, yeah, I think there's so much that goes into all of that. But
you play the odds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, November, you did deer camp in Missouri. Did your brother do any good this year?
He shot a couple doe. He shot a doe here last week, and he's going to try to shoot a couple more does, I think, kind of before the season ends.
Sweet.
He got busted on a stud of a buck.
Did he?
That November weekend. Yeah, he got kind of busted. He just snuck in on him, and by the time he knew he was there, it's just kind of one of those bow hunter situations. You know what I mean? We've all been in.
Yep.
At some point.
Yep.
So, but yep. No, that's so he's kind of had he's been hunting hard and he's had some opportunities, but just hadn't been able to seal the deal.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That sounds like Nate this year, honestly. He's had a couple.
Yeah.
He had that one close chance. He had another one. This big, he said at any given time, he could be the stupid seven or the sucky seven or the sexy seven. Like, it just depends on the day.
Yeah.
But he's like a huge bull of a deer. And there's actually one that's bigger bodied than him. But really impressive deer to look at. He just has no points. Like, he's got a big frame and everything. So this deer was coming from behind him one morning, and he was out in a cornfield coming into the timber where Nate was. Well, Nate turned around to look, didn't know he was there at the time, turned around to look, and he just stopped and saw some movement and then turned and went, you know, in another direction. He was close on that deer a couple times, whether it was something like that or like he just missed him going in or going out, whatever. He hunted a lot in November and had trouble this year. Blake ended up shooting that goofy buck on like the November 3rd or 4th, something like that. And then he shot a buck on Christmas Eve that he didn't end up getting on camera, but a big old 7-pointer. And so he bucked out. Dusty bucked out this year on a couple nice deer. His son bucked out. Like, we had a really good year overall.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit, like, kind of disconnected after I bucked out on mine. Because I didn't get to film anybody. I hunted quite a bit with Nate there that week up to gun season, but like we didn't do any good. We saw a few deer, but nothing big. And it was like, what do I do with my time? And like, I'm not really in the game. I kind of am doing the deer season dailies helped a little bit, but like,
yeah,
it's a weird feeling being, and I'm sure for you even more so, it's like not even hunting November really because you were done before then.
Yeah, I enjoy getting it done in October. It's fun. That's a fun month to hunt. I like, you know, getting it done on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just kind of adds to the special. The memory of that deer and the specialness of the hunt, and just kind of getting it done on purpose is a lot of fun.
It adds another layer to it for sure.
It does. It adds another layer to it. And you know, and then it kind of takes the pressure off for the rest of the year where, you know, I don't feel like I absolutely have to hunt. You know,
exactly.
I can hunt because I want to.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, December, I went out with a buddy of mine. We went to the lease and we did some doe management, you know, so we both shot two does off the property while we were there. So put some meat in the freezer and just had that was just a fun hunt, you know, a laid back, relaxed. Not a chance that we're killing a buck, you know, because they're on the no shoot list.
Right.
You know, so even if we see them, we're not shooting anyways. So, you know, just shoot a couple of the younger end does and just try to help out with a little bit of management purposes.
Yeah.
They're going in December and put some good meat in the freezer.
Yeah. That's something I enjoy doing too, towards the end of the year. Like if I'm not trying to kill a buck, like last year,
yeah,
I was down to the last week of the season before I killed a buck. So it was like, I got to be out there and I got to hunt because we're trying to make content too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so one thing that I like about shooting one early or especially being bucked out is like this year it's been, if I don't feel like going, I don't have to. And when I go now, I will take the camera like in case I see something cool or a big buck comes out that I want to film or something like that. But if I just want to shoot a doe and not worry about filming it, it's a really nice, like kind of a refresh and stress-free. I really enjoy filming hunts, right? Like if I did enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. But at the same time, it is nice to just not worry about the camera and just hunt too.
100%.
That's always 100% fun for me to be able to do that and just kind of take a breath and reset a little bit and then shoot one off camera, whatever, just relax, have a normal hunt. Like you said, no pressure at all. And then get ready for next year kind of deal, which is where we're at now. We're going to be pushing into 2026 with some full draw Fridays. Hopefully we're going to try to get back to more consistent. We may go to like every other week or something through the off season, and just see what we can come up with there. And
there's so many topics to cover.
Exactly. Exactly. And then maybe next year, we'll see how everything works out. We can do more, a little bit more through the season. I've talked about the deer season daily. I don't know if I'll do it every day. I might, because I had a lot of people enjoyed it. It did pretty well, like view wise. So, but at least I'll do maybe 3 days a week or something. And then maybe we could still do full draw Fridays too, because I really enjoy these. And it's, I think this dynamic of us being able to bounce stuff off of each other works really well. And
absolutely,
people probably get tired of just hearing me talk. So it's nice to have another face and another voice for them to see and listen to. So that's always appreciated. But it was another tactically approached year for you, and it worked out well. Like you said, killing them on purpose is always fun, and that's what happened for you. My first buck, I guess you could say that. I knew that deer was in there. It was one we discussed killing. I didn't even know for sure I wanted to shoot him till last second, because I realized that's the deer it was, because there were like three other 5-year-old 8-points in there that I wasn't maybe going to shoot. Well, 4 to 5.
Yeah.
But I was actually in there hunting for a deer that was like 160-inch 6x5. And then this dude came out, and I'm like, that's a pretty nice deer. And then he got down in front of me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I better shoot that deer. So it was
definitely a nice deer.
It was kind of on purpose a little bit, but it almost has to be in October, right? But but no, it ended up being a good year for us, and people have heard me talk about it plenty of times. So I wanted to get with you and kind of catch up, get everybody caught up on how your season went, and then that way we can start heading into the off season. I know we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about there as well. You're doing some more videos. Like you said, you just put a video up. It was the 2-hour buck, right?
Yeah.
What was the title of the video? It was something like that, right?
It was early season. I think let me look up the exact title of it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's on it. For those of you listening, that's on Austin's channel on YouTube, Tactical Approach Outdoors. His website is also tacticalapproachoutdoors.com, where you can find all of his stuff. He does a bunch of consulting and management work around the Kansas City, Kansas, Missouri area, and then he does consulting work all over like we do too. So if you want to get more information on that, his website, Tactical Approach Outdoors. So that video is?
It's opening day buck in 2 hours, early season success.
There you go. So that's the latest video you've got up. Make sure everybody go over and check that out. And then your social media is also Tactical Approach Outdoors, correct?
Yes, it is. Very
Tactical easy.
Approach Outdoors, LLC.
There you go. There you go. Instagram, Facebook, the two big ones.
Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok.
There you go.
Yep. So all the that's pretty much the main four. So I don't really push too much of there. Anything else, it's just those four, which keeps me busy enough.
Oh, for sure. All right, you got anything that you want to kind of leave the people with for this episode, but give them a look going ahead, what you got coming up this year, or anything different, or what's going on aside from obviously trying to do more of these?
Do more of these. Well, I mean, we were talking about content and trying to increase this, but we're going to 50X what we did content wise last year. I'm going to go full bore on YouTube for long form content. I just filmed before we got on here. I filmed an e-scouting video and, basically like pre-qualifying, properties, before you set foot on them, things I look for. And then, I'm going to follow that up with a post-season scouting video on that property that I just did for the e-scouting side of it. We've got 2 more videos in the editing process right now is my buck this year, which I didn't get a lot of footage for, not gonna lie, but it was a good tactics wrap up what happened, the story. Right. And then you've got the story behind my buck last year that I never got around to making that I finally made. So we've got some, we got a lot of content basically moving forward.
Right.
You know, it's, we're just, I am full bore on the gas pedal for obviously All Baller Management. You know, I'm heading next week, I'm heading to Georgia for a consulting client. And we're just moving. I'm just it's all gas from here. So
awesome.
So content wise, you guys are going to have a lot to look at this year.
Yep. Awesome. That's again, Tactical Approach Outdoors on YouTube is where you're going to find all that content. I know you just recently posted on Instagram too, and maybe your Facebook about a new series that you're trying to put together. So you want to go ahead and hit on that just in case anybody is listening that could help you out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking for landowners, Kansas, Missouri, and any kind of stories you want to tell. Basically, you know, if you have along the land improvement topic, you know, if you have a unique approach, trial and error stories, you know, success stories, kind of anything that you got along those lines, you know, I'm not interested in getting into a commercial video, you know, for things you're selling, food plot seed or any of that stuff, but like, just tell your story, tell a success story, tell, you know, just something to do a quick interview, you know, a little bit of filming out on property to show what you got going on and to tell your, anything to tell your story. So that's kind of what I thought would be kind of fun. Give, not just like we were talking about, not just hearing your voice the whole time. Same thing with me, you know, so bringing somebody else's perspective into and bringing some new ideas into it. And just giving my viewers a little bit of different kind of video other than looking at my own tactics per se.
Awesome. Yeah. I think so, that'll be really fun. Yeah. So if anybody can help out with that, they can get a hold of you through socials or your website, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So socials, website, if you want to just shoot me a text message. So cool. Email me, whatever works. So if that's something you guys would be interested in, I am looking for 12 landowners.
Awesome. Well, maybe we can help you out with that. Hopefully. I think that'll be a cool one. I'm looking forward to seeing it, how it all comes together too. That'll be interesting. And I think it'll be good. Get some people involved.
Fun.
And oh yeah, it'll be fun for sure.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And you know, instead of seeing all of the main big wig TV.
Yeah.
Guys being interviewed all the time, the same people getting interviewed all the time, let's bring some new faces in and just real hunters doing real hunting things.
Yep. There are so many guys out there that are doing it the right way, killing mature deer 100%. Every year that nobody knows about.
Absolutely.
Be a good way to spotlight them for sure. Yeah. So that's a good place to leave it for this week. I think, I don't know how long we went. We probably rambled for 45 minutes there, but, that's all right. We're going to get back to probably 20 to 30 minute episodes at some point when we get more back into tactics. But like I said, thought it'd be good to just catch up on this one, get the people caught up with you. I ain't talked to you a whole lot in the last couple of months either because we've both been so dang busy. So I thought it was a good one to do that on. But we'll be back with another one soon. Guys, if you're on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Ridge Hunter Outdoors, if you're not, and that's all of our social media as well. And then RidgeHunterOutdoors.com is our website. We will see you guys on the next one.